Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by
the Chemo Girls.
Good morning, Sharon.
Hi, Lucy.
Are you soaking wet this morning?
Oh, my gosh, I feel like a duck. I don't know if everybody can hear the rumbling behind us.
We've had quite a little storm here in South Georgia today.
We really have, and but it's a lovely, dreary day.
It's a nice
soaking rain. So if you guys hear rumbling, it's not that I'm hungry. It is actually thunder and a little bit of lightning, but it's beautiful.
We sure have an exciting show today.
Oh my goodness, I am
very different
so
than
excited.
What we generally do. We have a comedian in the house.
We do in the house.
I'm so excited.
We have Miss Brenda Elsegier, and she is a survivor. So that's, you know, that is just such a big deal.
Near and dear to our
hearts.
She's
here today, and she's sure to make us laugh. She'll make you think and glad that you even tuned in. She was voted Twin Cities' funniest person by Acme Academy Club in Minnesota. She's a newsmaker of the year by the Women's Press and has received the Golden Mike Award from the American Cancer Society. That's a big deal.
That is. That's
and
awesome.
The Advocacy to Win Award by Get Your Rear in Gear Organization. That's GYRIG. Brenda is the past president of the United Ostonomy, I hope I'm saying that, Ostonomy Association Minneapolis chapter, and has been a long-distance biker in 3 rides for Get Your Guts in Gear. Brenda is a wife, a mother, an international speaker, and author of 4 books. If the Battle Is Over, Why Am I Still in Uniform? I'd Like to Buy a Bowel, Please. I think that's hilarious. Bedpan Banter, and It's in the Bag and Under the Covers. Brenda is also a humor writer for many publications and writes a humorous blog. Miss Brenda is a native of Minnesota, and you'll hear that in her little accent. We like that. She'll show how humor can help us get through adversity in our lives. She's known for her honest discussion about taboo subjects. Welcome, Miss Brenda.
Well, hello. It's good to hear both of you. And you're having a rainy day, and we got up this morning and snowblowed for a couple hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Snow last night, so it's pretty beautiful around here.
So some nice, dry, powdery snow then, huh?
It's beautiful. It is just beautiful. It's just that your car gets stuck in your driveway, and that's challenging when you want to go to work. But you know what? Another month or so, and then we'll be done with it.
It always amazes me the difference in temperatures. I don't know what the weather conditions can be so different, you know, from the northern part of the states to the southern. We're in flip-flops today, even though it is rainy. Short sleeves and flip-flops, and there's been a lot of shorts in the stores the last couple of days.
But we were definitely freezing a week ago,
yeah,
literally
below
freezing.
Crazy weather patterns.
We're on that. I've got double layers on, and but I'm happy and I'm content and I feel good.
Well, thank you for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. Now, let me know if I'm talking too fast, being up from the up north here.
And you let us know if we're talking too slow.
I don't have the accent. You guys are the ones with the accent.
She says you guys are the ones with the accent. Listen, sister, we're both speech pathologists. Yeah. We know an accent when we hear one, even our own.
People see me all over the country because of my Minnesota accent. See, I'm from the Twin Cities, a very cosmopolitan area of Minnesota, and we laugh at the people that are up north Minnesota near Canada because they really have the accent. If you ever saw that movie Fargo, you know what I'm talking about.
I love that movie. It is so great. It's such dry, hilarious humor. Well, Miss Brenda, we were hoping that you might tell us just a little bit your background story, your cancer journey, and how cancer has touched your life.
Oh, I'm honored to be part of your show. I'm so glad that you're doing your show because you're going to touch a lot of people. And that's why I'm pretty sure you have started this great survivor show. I like so many people, had something go wrong. I was working in my hair salon, and I noticed the pain in my butt was just not going away. And I had done the usual preparations like tucks and whatever, hemorrhoid stuff. And I remember coming home and complaining to my husband, I got this pain in my butt. And I probably suffered with it for like 2 weeks thinking it must be hemorrhoids. And he suggested I try some ibuprofen. And so I took some and I didn't have any more pain in like 20 minutes. But during that day, I just felt like I should call the doctor. So I called the doctor. And the next week, I went to the hospital. I went into the clinic with my husband. And my husband had a mole on his forehead he wanted removed. And my five-year-old son had strep throat. So we were like multitasking, you know, at the clinic. And my three-year-old daughter came along. You know, we were spending the day at the clinic. Some families go to the zoo. Our zoo, so it's about the same. But they all went to their appointments, and I went to my appointment, and that doctor came in and did a quick vaginal and rectal exam and said he wanted to get another opinion. And there was another doctor there who was a surgeon, and he came in and did the exam. And right away, they could feel a tumor in my rear end, in the rectum, very low in the rectum. And they did a biopsy that day, and I walked out of there finding out that I probably had colorectal cancer.
Wow.
So that was a day wrecker, just like you two have experienced, you know. It's a surprise. It's a surprise. And having had no one in my family ever have colon cancer, I didn't have no one in my family had cancer. So that was just new. And then I remember gathering all my sisters and my brother and my mom and dad together, and we're talking about my rear end. And what do you have? Do you have colon cancer then? Do you have colorectal cancer? Or do you have cancer of the rectum? And I had this, I don't know, but I think I have all of it. You know? And that's what it was. And so you'll hear people say colorectal cancer, and you'll also hear people say colon cancer, and you'll hear cancer of the rectum. It's all the same as colon cancer.
Right.
So, but that doctor that day said cancer of the rectum. And so that, you know, I was a look good, feel better trained hairdresser, so I knew what it was like to discuss cancer with, you know, other people. And I'd certainly cut off women's hair and help them when their hair was growing back out. I had been specially trained to do that. So thinking ahead, because of so many conversations with other women, I thought to myself, well, what do you do? I mean, don't you have to have that part cut out? And we've all heard that expression, ream the new one. Well, that's exactly what happens, you know, when you have a tumor in your rear end, they remove it. And sometimes nowadays they shrink it, but 18 years ago, I was 39 years old when that happened, so no one expected me to have colon cancer at that young age.
Right. Yeah.
But so I ended up having surgery, and just like so naive about the whole thing, and just so, you just don't expect any of that kind of thing. I remember asking the doctor, now, he said they'll have to remove the tumor. And I said, well, what does that mean? I mean, how do you remove the tumor without removing the rectum? And he said, no, we have to remove the rectum. And I remember saying, well, don't you need your rectum? I mean, you know, how do you do it? And so, you know, just the naiveness and him telling me, no, you'll have to have a permanent colostomy. So I had heard of people having colostomies, but they were always like old men, you know, that had colostomies.
Yeah.
And so I just, that's in my mind. That's what it was. But well, since now I have a permanent colostomy, I've come to learn there's babies having colostomies. There's young, beautiful women having colostomies and ileostomies due to Crohn's disease or bowel diseases. And, you know, I just decided right from the beginning, I mean, it was an icky thing. But when the doctor explained when they do the surgery, I get to live, it was real clear when I looked at my two children,
That's
five
right.
and 3 years old. You mm-hmm. know, I want to live. So,
yeah.
Bring on the bag. So, yes, I use a colostomy bag to survive, and my stool goes into the bag every day. And my kids are just graduating from college. So, it's a blessing. It's a miracle.
Hallelujah.
It's a real miracle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my
goodness.
And
so, anyway, there's lots of stories that happened along the way. And I remember going to the CAT scan, you know, that CAT scan and PET scans for so many people determine if the cancer spread to the liver or the lungs, and so it determines the next course. So at that time, the doctor told me, if the cancer spread to your liver or your lungs, we won't bother to do the operation. And all of a sudden, you know, colostomy looks really good.
That's right.
And So along with the colostomy, though, I had to have all my female organs removed. So I had a total hysterectomy and part of my vagina removed and reconstructed at the same time. So it was a major, major surgery, and I've had three major surgeries since dealing with it. But at that time, I'm going to my CAT scan. And you know how it is, like there's all these movies, like 50-50 or different movies where people go out and get crazy when they find out they have a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did either one of you do something crazy when you found out you had a cancer diagnosis, go spend all your money or cut off all your hair?
No.
I don't think I reacted that way. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What's the next step here?
I had too much time to think about it where nobody else was acknowledging it. So I think I was stifled from the crazy a little bit.
Okay. Well, you know what I did? I rebuilt by not putting on my seatbelt for 3 days. I mean, that just tells you how rough I am, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just not wearing my seatbelt. If I have an accident, well, I already have cancer. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember picking up my mother on the day of the CAT scan. Like, I'm picking up my mother. Shouldn't she be picking me up? I mean, I'm the one with the cancer. But I pick her up, and I'm talking to her on the way there, you know, and you have these difficult conversations with your loved ones. And mine was, Mom, if we find out that cancer spread, you know, to my liver and my lungs, we're just going to have a good old time until I check out.
Aww.
You know, you got that? We're going to have fun until I have to go. And I said, can you handle that? And she said, yes, I can handle that. So that was a difficult conversation. So I'm driving along. I'm drinking that solution you drink before you get into CAT scan. And I'm drinking and driving. I'm not wearing a seatbelt. I'm really rebellious. And I get there, and this nurse hooks me up to the IV. And she's a young, beautiful nurse, and she hooks me up to the IV. And then she leaves, and you go through the machine. Breathe in, breathe out, hold your breath. And this older nurse comes and unhooks me, and she tells me a story. And she says, Brenda, last week there was a guy in here, and the young nurse hooked him up, and I came and unhooked him. And he said, I knew I was in there a long time, but this is ridiculous. You know, it makes me laugh out loud. And I realized, oh, my gosh, I had just been to, like, eight doctors with eight different vaginal and rectal exams, and nobody had made me laugh. And these nurses made me laugh right out loud, and I realized, I got to laugh more. You know, I've got to laugh. So then I started looking for funny things, and they kept coming. They kept coming. And so shortly after that, one of my sisters reminded me of my goal to become a comedian by my 40th birthday. And I had proclaimed that on my 39th birthday after a couple of margaritas with some of the girlfriends, you know. And so here I am. I've had surgery now, and I'm recovering, and my sister reminds me of that goal, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do that, you know? But somebody bought me a gift certificate to Acme Comedy Club to learn how to become a comedian, and I went.
Oh, and, I love that story.
Our class recital ended 3 days after my 40th birthday, so I got to do it.
Oh, that is so cool.
That was perfect.
And, you know, that is a life-altering gift. That is such an insightful and wise gift, don't you think?
Oh, it was so great, and because it got me out of my stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, at that time, I was still dealing with healing from wounds, and I couldn't sit properly because, you know, I had my rectum removed. And I say, you know, my cheeks were so shut, it's the only thing I have in common with the Barbie doll.
I don't know. I saw your picture. I think you're pretty cute.
I do, too.
Thank you. But it's been a fantastic journey. And, you know, I hear people say cancer is a gift. Well, I don't know if I would say cancer is a gift, but learning about yourself and how you react to stressful things in your life is really a gift, and how you can make some of this crap, literally and figuratively, better is really amazing to see how things go. And so many good healthcare professionals helped me along the way, and so many other survivors and encouraged me to just keep going. And for some reason, I decided I just would talk about it. So when I got to my salon, I would talk about what tests I was going to and what I was going to. And I think people kept coming back, so I guess I didn't frighten them too much. And it became kind of my mission to kind of keep talking about it, even though I didn't know anyone that ever had colon cancer that talked about it with me. You know, 18 years ago, that was just not discussed. Breast cancer had finally just come out. People were really talking about it about 18 years ago. starting to really talk about it, and you started seeing commercials about it. And now these days you can see colon cancer commercials, usually at lunchtime, not so much dinner conversation yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, Brenda, what would you say has been your biggest surprise that cancer has brought you?
Oh, gosh, my biggest surprise is a new career. I loved being a hairdresser, and I loved owning my salon, and we had a very busy salon, and I was a very busy hairdresser. And I think just being open to talking about this has made a big difference. And then the other goal I had wanted to become a comedian, and then the other goal I had was to go to college. I never went to college. I bought my first salon when I was 21, and because I was too practical, I didn't know what I wanted to take at college, so I just refused to go. And then I was always going to go, and then I just never made the time because I was traveling a lot and having fun. And so I think the other thing that surprised me was the desire to go to college. So I signed up for college and started taking classes, and one of the classes I took was how to write a major project. And it was the most advanced writing class, and for some reason I scored high on the writing assessments. I didn't know I was a writer at the time. I just was taking the classes. But I was practical, and I wanted to get something practically done. So I decided to write my story really for my kids, because with so many abdominal surgeries, I couldn't pick them up for a couple of years. I mean, much.
Right.
And I was afraid they'd have to go to therapy. So I thought if I wrote a book about it, then they wouldn't have to go through so much therapy. And so,
just read the book, baby.
I did get an A in that class. I wrote my story, and I finished half the book, and I just decided to finish the book. And then I had this idea that if I took it to an ostomy company, the ostomy products that I use, colostomy products, maybe they'd be interested in it. And they were, because it was funny and honest. And it's called If the Battle's Over, Why Am I Still in Uniform? And referring to having a colostomy.
Right.
So they loved it. And they have been a very good corporate sponsor for me all these years and have helped me promote the book and get it across the country in people's hands that can really use it. So I hear every week from people that have read my book that really it's helped them through this difficult transition in their life.
So that's
been the biggest surprise. And what a joyful surprise to find out I'm a writer. I didn't know I was a writer, and I didn't know I was a speaker. But comedy led to speaking, and that all kind of goes hand in hand. So just the way my life has turned out the last 18 years has been kind of a nice surprise.
Yeah, your second act has been amazing, hasn't it? It sounds like it.
Yeah, it is really. And the doors keep opening wider and wider. I just think, who would have thought I'd be talking about living rectum-free across the country for all these years? You know? But it's the truth. It's the truth. As a matter of fact, I make a joke about that, too, because I talk to healthcare professionals, and I never finished my degree yet. And so I put up these. I was telling my friend who has two PhDs, and I feel kind of dumb talking to all these doctors and nurses without a college degree. And she said, oh, just make one up. So I did. I took her advice, and I made one up. So I put my name up on the PowerPoint slides, and then I had LRF afterwards.
Yeah, we were wondering about that.
Yeah, LRF, living rectum free.
That is awesome. That is the starter for many conversations, isn't it?
Many colorful conversations.
So what do you do for a living?
Stocking for your show. Is this too much for your show?
No. We love this.
I think this is excellent because, our cancers were very much different. But I think when you hear cancer, it does change your life forever. And when Sharon and I started providing the support systems for those that are entering chemotherapy, we had no idea we would be doing the Cancer Survivor Show.
No, goodness.
Things have started evolving for us like this, too. So it's just amazing what that second act will do in your life, you just allow it to.
Right. Yeah, I think like you, too, when you're on the right path, the doors just keep opening wider and wider. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
And, since I was diagnosed with cancer, a year later, my uncle was diagnosed with colon cancer and died 3 months later.
Right.
And then my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 years later. She had a lumpectomy and radiation. And then 3 years after that, my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she had lumpectomy, radiation, and chemotherapy. So now I'd say it's, in the family. And people are paying attention more because of colon cancer and breast cancer, often familial. We've had genetic testing, and we don't have the gene. I don't have the gene for colon. I haven't had it tested for breast. So we just keep learning more and more about this and what it's all about.
And it sounds
right
like
now,
you really,
fact,
you forged the way.
I'm doing the sister study. Do you know about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge, huge study where you have to cut your toenails and collect your dust in your house, and they have someone come and take your blood and your urine sample every couple of years. And it's been going on, I don't know, for at least 10 years. And it's a breast cancer study called the sister study. And I've been part of that.
Oh, wow. That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Just to see if there's environmental components there.
Yeah,
I have a
girlfriend, Elaine. She was my cancer comrade. We were diagnosed. We were good friends before we were diagnosed. We were single women together, and we worked together. And we were diagnosed 1 week apart. And our path reports read almost identical. She was 32, and I was 34. And anyway, she has a sister who, when Elaine was, I guess, in middle school, I think this sister passed with breast cancer at the age of 20. And then Elaine had it at 32. And then she has another sister who is in her 40s who now has had breast cancer. So every one of those girls has been affected. And they probably would be very interesting participants for something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, it might be interesting to have someone on your show talk about it. It's put out by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences.
Okay.
NIH is doing this.
Okay.
So, and you can find out more about that on the sister study.
Okay.
sister.niehs.nih.gov. So, or you can call the sister study. They have a number listed on the website, too. And it's, you know, it's free. I mean, it's just that you have to follow through on volunteering. So it's been a number of years. They've been following up on us.
That's great.
Sisters of people that have breast cancer. So.
Well, Miss Brenda, I know we're going to be publishing this particular show in the month of March. I know
great.
That's an important month. And would you like to tell us just a little bit about that?
Yes, March has gotten the month to be Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And I think it's been good just because people are starting to talk about this subject. I don't know, poop is a little bit different from other things.
People like to talk about boobs more than poop, don't
they? But not the demise of boobs.
They're popular right now. But colon cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths between men and women. Breast is, of course, over that for just women. But between men and women, it's the second leading cause of cancer deaths. So got to take it seriously. And the thing about the colon cancer is you just get that colonoscopy. About age 50, everyone should be having a full colonoscopy. And you get medication. It feels like you're having a jumbo margarita. It's not that bad. The worst part is the prep the night before.
It is.
It
That's
is.
Right.
You have to drink that salty solution.
And you have to go without your coffee the next morning.
What's that?
And you have to go without your coffee the next morning. That was.
Well, I think that's true. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't remember the details, but I think you might be right there. I think you have to have a clear, have clear liquid thing. But my, I was 39, so everyone 10 years and younger, I mean, 10 years and up between me, had to have a full colonoscopy too. So I have 6 younger sisters and a brother, and they all had to have full colonoscopies. So 29 years old and up had full colonoscopies, and a couple of my sisters had polyps, so they had them removed, and that's the end of their cancer, you know, possibilities there.
That's great.
But they just remove the polyps and take them out. That's so helpful. So if you have a tumor, if you happen to have a polyp that's gone crazy in your rear end, they can do a lot more these days by shrinking them with radiation and taking them out, and you don't have to have your rectum removed in most cases. So it's much more hopeful than it used to be. Just by getting a full colonoscopy at age 50, that's where you should start.
Well, we'll do our part in March in promoting more awareness. We will blog and we'll post some things on our Facebook and Twitter, because all cancers certainly need their own recognition.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, if you have any interest, Ms. Ryder, in doing a guest blog, we would love to have you on. And so kind of give that some thought. Do you have like a pearl of wisdom or a little funny anecdote that you would like to share with folks?
Well, I remember one time in particular, I was getting ready to go to my support group. And it was a support group put on by a health crisis center for people that had chronic illnesses or life-threatening diseases or life-threatening issues. So I fit into that category, and the support group was so great. But they were really fanatic about being on time. And right when I was getting ready, I was changing my colostomy bag when I was reaching for something, and just then poop came flying out of my stomach. I mean, like a projectile, and it went on my bed. It went on my carpeting. I mean, because I just stood up to get something for a second from the bathroom, and boom, that's where it went, all over the place. And I thought to myself, I am not going to make it on time. And I was really nervous about not making it on time, and I felt really bad, you know, and I'm cleaning up everything, and I can't leave the house on time. I got to clean up everything. And
right.
It was a poopy mess. And I decided, well, what can I do about this? I can feel sad about this. This is my reality. This is just how it is today. Or I can put on my prettiest dress. So I got my prettiest dress out, this beautiful purple, green, and blue dress. And I went to the support group an hour late, and they welcomed me with open arms. And I told them, we always do our brags and our bummers. And so I got in on the brag and bummer at the very end. I said, here's my brag. Here's my bummer. I pooped all over everything. Here's my brag. I cleaned it all up, and here I am with my prettiest dress on.
I love
it. That's what it's about. Just get your prettiest stuff on and get out the house. You
there
know?
You go.
I love
you,
that. Bam.
You know, you've got grains and stuff hanging out of you. That won't always be how it is. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. It'll be prettier later.
I think that is an awesome, not just surviving, but thriving tidbit of the day, Brenda. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much. And I thought maybe you might go over some of your social media, some of your information, so that our listeners know how to find you.
That's
sure.
right.
You can contact me by going to my website, livingandlaughing.com, all spelled out, living and laughing. You can find me on Twitter. I'm not too active. I'm trying to get better. That's Laughing Brenda. And Facebook, Brenda Elsegier. Brenda, B-R-E-N-D-A, Elsegier, E-L-S-A-G-H-E-R. Tell me you heard me on this cancer survivor. So tell me that you heard me there, and I will let you in as my friend. I would love to have you as my friend, and love to talk to any of you that are listening in today.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brenda, for being with us. I cannot wait to meet you face to face and be in the audience one day soon when you're speaking and making us all laugh and making us appreciate life and, you know, looking at the difficult battles that we've gone through, but turning them around into life victories. And that's what you have done with your life. And we so appreciate you sharing your story with us today.
Well, and likewise with both of you. Thank you for all the good work that you're doing, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.